opening hymn is found in your United Methodist hymnal on page 452.
Please stand as we sing together, "My Faith Looks Up to Thee."
Come to our call to worship, found in your bulletin. Show us your steadfast love, O Lord, and grant us your salvation. The Lord will speak peace to the faithful, to those who turn to God in their hearts. Surely salvation is at hand for those who fear the Lord,
and the glory of God will dwell in our land.
Amen. Our affirmation of faith this morning is the Apostles' Creed, 881, in your hymnals. Let us unite in this historic confession of our Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he arose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From hence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Please turn in your Faith We Sing books to page 2152, Change My Heart, O God.
Change my heart, O God.
Change my heart, O God.
Seated.
Our prayer of confession is found in your bulletin. Ever faithful God, how often we turn away from you, yet you remain constant to us. We run from you, but you call us back. In our words and our deeds, we dishonor you. Yet you still profess your love for us. We cut ourselves off from you and from others, but you will not let us go. Forgive our faithless and fickle ways, and increase the gift of gratitude that we might grow in faithfulness to you. For the sake of Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. Hear the good news. When you were buried with Christ in baptism, you were also raised with him through faith in the power of God. By that power, we are made clean and set free to live in gratitude and love with zeal. As you receive Christ Jesus, continue to live your lives in him, rooted and built up in him, and abounding in thanksgiving. Amen. Our offertory, if the ushers would please come forward.
Thank you. This is children's time. If you could come forward and greet your facilitator for today.
Good morning. We're going to read some scriptures this morning about how Jesus feels about children. We're going to have Miss Audrey read the first one.
Jesus said, "Let the children come to me." Jesus said, "Let the children come to me and don't hire them, for the kingdom of heaven belongs to those such as these."
You are the children of the Lord, the God.
Thank you.
Can I get one? Okay. He said to them, "Let the children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to them such as these." He took the children in his arms and put them in his hand on them and blessed them.
We're having about children today because we're doing the blessing of the backpacks. And sometimes I forget how important these children are to us, because they're going to be you guys pretty soon. So we need to make sure that we teach them and love them and remind them that they are children of God, and that's where their power and strength needs to come. So I guess I'm asking you, as the congregation, when you see these young people, give them a hug, bless them, love them, give them what they need, maybe not the $20 bill, but the rest of it, please just raise them up in loving arms so they can go forth and make the world a brighter and better place. We made these little tags for you. Miss Caitlin, did you bring your backpack?
Yeah.
Okay, you can tie that on your backpack. And then if y'all would help me cut some of this yarn, we're going to tie these. Would you like to read this to the congregation?
Dear Jesus, please show me how to spend this day sharing your love in every way. Help me be kind to everyone, to play and laugh and have lots of fun, shining your light and giving me your grace, sharing joy with your smile on my face.
Thank you. And then on the back, we just say we are praying for you, and it's from our church. So maybe if you're ever up at the school and you see kids with these, you'll know that we gave them a special blessing and that we blessed their backpacks and their daily lives. And we're going to put some of these tags on if anybody wants to come up and cut and tie. Okay, you want to go tie them on some of those? There you go.
Thank you all so much for helping out, for donating. The filling of the backpacks would have not been able to be done without your generous donation. We were able to get everything for first and second grade. We thought we had 46, but we actually only had 36. But we have filled them with everything they needed. So do we have all the backpacks here, girls in the back? Yeah, okay. So welcome to the new school year 2019-2020. Gracious God, we lift to you today these students that stand here ready to receive your blessing, and they commit themselves to study and learning in the school year ahead. We ask your blessing on each one of them. We lift those children, Lord, known only to you, that will be receiving the gifted backpacks also. We pray as well for the teachers and the administrators in our schools. May they also be sustained by your blessing. May they be reminded that this congregation embraces their call to teaching and learning and surrounds them with love, care, and prayers. And if all of you will help me pray together in the back of the... Father, we pray that the children will grow in their understanding of God as their Heavenly Father and grow in their amazing identity as His child. We are praying that God will give their teachers the ability to see the unique and individual gift of each one of the children. We pray as iron sharpens iron, so are the friendships our children make. We're praying for friends that will change them to grow their walk with Jesus and ignite a desire to allow the Holy Spirit to transform every day their life. We pray that through their faith in Jesus and their kindness, our children will attract their friends to a relationship with Jesus. We pray in the name of Jesus, who we seek to follow day by day. Amen. And if you would please remember, not only our children, but just all the children that are entering school this year, the ones that are entering for the first time and the ones that are continuing their education. They are the future of tomorrow, and the future of tomorrow really, really needs our prayers. So let's continue with prayers for joys and concerns. Chuck Smith requires prayers for Lynn Skinner for health concerns. Jackie Maxson, prayers for Barbara Armstrong for her wrist surgery in El Paso Tuesday. That would be this Tuesday. She told me that it was a day surgery, but we certainly want to lift her up in prayer. Marty Alexander requires prayers for her sons as their father enters hospice care. Father, we give you thanks, Lord, for this opportunity of lifting up those that need your care, my Heavenly Father. And we thank you, Lord. We thank you for them. We thank you, my Heavenly Father, that you're walking with them and you know exactly what their needs are. We also lift those up, my Heavenly Father, that are deep in our hearts and need your concern and your mercy. We also have a very glad, joyous announcement that I thought that this was the perfect time to let you know, even if it might change our lives and we might never be the same. Take it away.
I get to brag because it's my dad, but he had his cardiologist appointment. So for the last 16 months, he's been doing this vegan diet. His 30% blockage in his carotid artery is cleared. All it has now is thickening. So y'all have to deal with him some more because he's been writing for the paper.
What I meant to say that this is life-changing. Step up your vegetables, people. That's what it means. That's what it means. So you know that there will be no end, and we will all be together celebrating his 100. Won't that be awesome? So let us go and put all this with hope and prayer and rejoicing in the hand of Jesus Christ by praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. If you would recite with me prayer for illumination. God of wisdom, you promise to give your spirit to those who ask. Overwhelm us with your word, that we may know you more fully, love you more passionately, and follow you more closely. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we're going to be reading from Ephesians 11 and 12. It is page 1821 in your pew Bible. And it reads, So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the pastors, and the teachers to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. I was asked last week to talk about volunteering. And that person knows who that person is, and I want to say, I heard you. So I entitled my sermon, Let the Size of Your Faith Impact the World. Have you ever wondered about this verse? Some of you might have taken the spiritual gift assessment. Others think of the gifts they would like to have, but feel they don't. And others claim to have no gift at all. But in reality, we all have been given at least one gift of the Spirit. But ministry could never happen without the faithful service of so many people. From those who teach, to those that run the children's Sunday school, to those who set up the coffee in the morning, and those who lead us in worship. All the ministry you do is very, very important. And we could not do it without the cooperation of many. All the ministries that you are involved in are a crucial part of the Church of Christ. And it is the people of the body of Christ who makes the ministry happen. It just doesn't happen when we come in the morning and turn the light on and poof, everything goes on. Doesn't happen like that. Today we're going to look at three results of serving in ministry. One, by serving, you fulfill God's purpose for your life. You were made with a specific purpose and ministry plan for you. I'm not saying this. Ephesians 2:10 declares, For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. Us to do. The term workmanship is the same word we get the word from poem. It's the root. It comes from poem. In an essence, you're God's work of art. In his eyes, you are his perfect masterpiece. And he has entrusted each one of you for as long as you live, from the moment of birth to your last breath, with a gift. God's design for you began before you were born. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complete and so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. Psalms 139, 13, and 14. God has an eternal purpose and a plan for your life, and I know he has for mine. Have you ever paid attention to how God takes the ministry we do and uses it to influence the course of eternity in the life of others? You never know who you're touching. I always tell the people that I help in hospice that we teach even with our last breath. You don't know who's watching you. You don't know who's taking strength from you. You don't know who's learning a lesson from you. And you do not know whose life you're serving or saving at any given time, but God knows. Our greatest fear should not be failure, but of succeeding at something that doesn't really matter. That should be our greatest fear in life. When we reach the end and we look back and, well, I should have participated in that, but I didn't think I was good enough. And I know when they called me and asked me, but that wasn't my gift. We kind of tend to judge ourselves as to how we could serve instead of asking God, how can we serve you? That is why you find in 1 Corinthians 13:31 this very important reminder. Whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God. I say that often. I have to confess that I have to say it to me all the time. I'm human just like you. And at times, I want to say, what's the difference? But I have to remind myself who I work for and who I have given my life to and who has done so much for me that regardless of the circumstances, I would not want to shortchange God. So when I remind myself that all I do for the glory of God, it makes the day go easier. And I think it will make your day go easier too. The service that really matters will last until eternity and beyond. Ministry is more than the opportunity of a lifetime. God is offering you an opportunity beyond your lifetime. It is up to you to take it or decline. You might be asking yourselves, why is the church asking me to volunteer? When you consider how many people we need to be able to offer this gathering today, it takes 16 volunteers to make this humble service happen. 16. 16 people that step up every week, that are committed to what they do. That is not a question of how many hours do they serve, but it's a question of who they serve. 16 people every week to bring this service to you. So based on that thought, it would be easy to conclude that we ask you to volunteer so that we can function. And on the surface, that is true. However, there are some deeper reasons that we ask you to volunteer. In a situation where we could have enough financial resources, and this is a theoretical, let's pretend question, okay? We could hire people to be greeters, ushers, some to be part of the praise team and the choir. We could pay for our music, who is faithfully here Sunday. I don't know where she's at, but Esther. She comes to practice during the week. That is her ministry. She does it to the glory of God, and she does it to help you worship and get closer to God. We could hire folks to prepare and serve communion and so forth and all the little things that happen in the church. We could all pay for that if we had the money. In some areas of service, we do hire some to do the task. that we have to have. We have Karen, we have Mary, we have Debbie, and we have Judy. They are called part-timers, but I can tell you that they work more than their chair. In church, there's really not a thing as part-time. We don't do 9 to 12 or 1 to 3. It just doesn't work like that. And now we're here, 5 hours there, the whole day on Saturday. That's just the way it goes. But imagine walking into a church where the person who greets you is a paid staff. Then you find out that there are no volunteers in the church because all of the work is hired out. Everybody gets paid to serve. Then you can simply come in, sit down, and expect to be served. Some of that is happening right now. Some of us walk in, we sit down, we leave on Sunday, and we come back the next Sunday. And we need you to know, I need you to know, that all of you have been given a gift. All of you have that gift with you. Don't hide it under your bed. Your blessings multiply when you bring them out. Paul tells us in Romans 12 and 3, "For by the grace given to me, I tell everyone among you not to think of yourself more highly than you should. Instead, think sensibly, as God has distributed a measure of faith to each one of you." Think sensibly. Could God have brought you this far so that you could just come on Sunday and do nothing else? Could God have given you a gift that you don't have to use? What about the talents that you guys have developed through the years? What about the gifts, that the things that you have learned in life? What about the words of comfort, the things that you have gone through? What about the prayers that you can give? Think sensibly. Has God brought you this far just to let you say, it's okay, I don't have to do anything else? Your gifts come from God. Your talent, that you might have developed. But it is still a gift from God, and it is still a responsibility that if you have it, and you have it abundantly, you share. What are you doing with what God has gifted you? I wish that God would have gifted me with a voice for singing. And when I asked God one day, why not? I love to sing. God said, because you would not sing for me. And he was probably right. But those of you that can make a joyful noise, why not step into the choir? All of you are worried that somebody, that the mics are on. First of all, I know about that. Turn the mic off where I am. I do that. I tell them, don't turn the mic on when I'm singing. So I know, I understand. But if you're doing it for each other, that changes everything. But if you're doing it for the Lord, that really changes everything. There's so much that can be done that is not being done. There's so much growing to do, even in our late season of life, that we're not learning, and parts of us are not growing. Central to our community life is a fair and sober estimate of ourselves in line with the Christian faith and with the gift that God has given us. Those are my Sunday words to tell you that faith without works is nothing. So you might have a lot of faith, but if you don't send that faith walking, it's nothing. Because you cannot believe in a God that creates the world and raises the dead and raises himself and gave you salvation and eternal life and not think that your neighbor is deserving of the same. And when you don't share the word of God, that's what you're doing. You're kind of like, we tend to become, Christians tend to become at certain times of our lives, hoarders of the word of God. As long as I have it, and I pack it up, you know, I come and receive it, take it home, and I'm okay. That's my faith. No, that's not your faith. That's kind of like impulse buying. You come here, you pick it up, you take it home. I know that because I do have, my daughter found the address on my closet with the tag on. So you know that that was impulse buying for sure. So our faith has to be walking. It's not enough to believe. We have to act. The passage we're examining together this morning is where the rubber meets the road. We are called to be an active part of the body of Christ. And the body of Christ is the church, and not a consumer or an spectator. The test shows me that I must participate in the local church to help others grow. That doesn't mean that everybody is going to be a preacher, even though I believe that you even preach when you take somebody's hand and just say, I hear you and I don't know what to tell you. But my heart breaks for you. I believe you're preaching at that moment. I believe that you teach with everything you do. You teach with the way that you conduct yourself. You teach with the way that you do things for other people instead of for yourself. You teach when you step away from judging and step into treating someone with faith and love, and giving people a second chance. You do all these things, all the gifts are poured and for you to work on every day of your life. Whatever gift I have been given, I am under obligation to God to use it, to serve his people. That gift not always, of course, would be expressed in a way that everybody will say, oh, that is a great gift. But I don't know until I start walking if I can do it, if God will give me everything that I need, if I need to get somebody else because I only have one part of the vision. Until you start moving, you don't know the fullness of the gift that you have been given. In Ephesians, we're told that God gave various positions in the church so that we could build one another up. That is the key here. So that we could build one another up, not tear us down. So if somebody brings a plate and it's not, you know, it's lacking salt, we're not going to say, well, I'm not going to eat that because it doesn't have salt. No, we're going to look at the fact that there was a call made for a dish and somebody answered. Isn't that wonderful? Somebody answered. That's what we're looking at. We ask you to volunteer because God has gifted you to help us to grow and develop faith in other people. Your act of kindness go a long way. And yes, I'll give you an example. The children of the first and second grade elementary here will not know your names, but God knows your names. God knows what you have done. It is a treasure that you have picked up here and put it up in heaven. It counts more than anything else that you can do here that other people might see and might say, oh, I know she did that. Isn't that nice? All the things that you do for other people multiply itself. And even if they're not known to friends and family, they're known to God, and He is the one that counts. He is the one that counts. Your gifts were meant to be used in unity with others in the church. This is something we need to understand. God did not call us to be a lone ranger in His service, nor did He call us to be in the secret service in serving Him. No. God called us to cooperate with each other so that when there is a need, we can step up. And I know that it can get tiresome, I know. But this is where it comes. All that I do, I must do it unto God. All that I do is my gift to God. God brought us together because of our gifts. When we exercise properly, we can accomplish much for His kingdom. Churches that have one man show will fail, or they will have a very little and limited impact in their community. What does that mean? In plain language, it doesn't matter what one person can do, what the ideas of one person can be, what that person can bring in. It doesn't matter. If all of us together are not in it, that one person is limited in how much they can reach other people. But together as a church, we can sweep the town. Everybody will know exactly what God means to us, not who we are, but what God means to us, because they will see it in you. It is imperative that all of us who are part of the body of Christ use our gifts together. Unfortunately, our major problem is not lack of talent or even resources, to tell you the truth. It is lack of participation. As long as we don't have your participation, we will always operate with a level of inefficiency. We will always, always be shortchanging the Lord. For me, that is really important. When I look back and I see where God has brought me from, I cannot even begin to tell you what God has done for me. Are things easy as my life continues? No, believe me. There are moments that are very, very hard. But I stand because I believe that God is holding me up. It is extremely important to me that regardless of whatever is going around me, I don't shortchange God. I will never be able to repay Him what He has done for me. And I don't intend to either. I just don't want to shortchange Him. If there's anything I can do, I want to do. If there's something I could try, I want to try. If there's a vision He gives me, I'm going to put it out. If it doesn't go, I put it out. I still did what I was asked to do. I didn't second guess God. I didn't think for Him. And I didn't shortchange Him with whatever He has given me. I ask you to consider, could you be shortchanging God with your gift, with all that He has done for you? Hebrews 10, 24 and 25 says, it has a clear warning, actually. It says, and let us be concerned about one another in order to promote love and good works, not staying away from our worship meetings, as some habitually do, but encouraging each other, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. The day is drawing near, and not because we are in the second season of our lives, because the day of the Lord coming is drawing near. So we need to get together to encourage each other. And if you know that someone is not able to make it to church for whatever reason, if you know, give them a call. See if there's anything that can be done. Do they need a ride? Do they need something? But don't just let them picked up from your pew and never again know what happened or why they stopped coming. When one sits at home, it's very easy to lose the discipline of coming to church and fellowshipping with other Christians. And as you know, that is one of the things that Jesus clearly states in the New Testament. Get together with each other. Get together with people that are like-minded, like you. Lift each other up. Our unity is made stronger by our diversity of gifts. And we ask you to volunteer, because when you fail to step up to the plate, the whole body of Christ hurts. Another reason we ask you to serve is that you will grow spiritually through serving. I have heard from many of you. I've been there, done that, and I know you have. I'm retired, and I know you are. I have paid my dues to the church, and believe me, I hear what you're saying. But when you tell me, let others do something, I don't know how to read that. What does that mean? So, because I've done and I've been, it's somebody else's turn. So I'm not going to step up. I'm not going to do anything. I don't think that's the right position for us to do. This might be your second, your third chance at doing it again. But remember that you're doing it for the glory of God. You're not doing it for me specifically. You're doing it for the body of the church. It is a joy to serve, even if at times it looks intrusive in your life. It is a joy to serve. I am a firm believer that God has a perfect plan. So I like to extend to each one of you the opportunity to receive some great blessings from your faithful service to the Lord. I like to encourage you to enlist in the service of the Lord again. Because you can and because you are called, God wants to use us beyond our objections. I often think of all the blessings that people miss because they don't show up. The things you don't get to see, the stories you don't get to hear because you don't show up. You will find in Jeremiah 18, 1 and 6, as the Lord speaks, this is the word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord. Go down to the potter's house, and there I will give you my message. So I went down to the potter's house, and I saw him working at the wheel. But the pot he was shaping from the clay was flawed in his hand. The potter formed it into another pot, shaping it as seems best to him. Then the word of the Lord came to me, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter does? Declares the Lord. Can the Lord not give you something brand new at this season of your life to share with other people? It can, and he will, if you let him. In conclusion, in another couple of weeks, the process of nominating and recruiting people for places of service in the church will begin. You will be given the opportunity to respond to the ministry needs of this church. I am asking you to pray over the next couple of weeks and ask God to reveal to you what he wants you to be involved in. Then adjust to what he wants and trust these words. God loves you, so his will is perfect. God is all-knowing, so his directions are always right. God is all-powerful, so he can enable you to accomplish his will. Let God direct you on how to serve this church and his kingdom. And please remember this, Philippians 2:13. For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases him. He is already at work in you. It's up to you if you will take it or leave it. Let us pray. Father, we realize that we have not paid much attention to serving you. Help us to serve others with a generous, selfless heart that shows them your love for them. Help us be motivated by your love, not our own desires. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen.
Our closing hymn is found on page 558. Please stand as we sing together, We Are the Church.
I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. The church is not a building, the church is not a steeple, the church is not a resting place, the church is a people. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. We're many kinds of people with many kinds of faces, all colors and all ages, too, from all times and places. We are the church, you are the church, we are the church together. Church together. Sometimes the church is moving, sometimes it's bravely burning, sometimes it's writing, sometimes all things it's learning. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. And when the people gather, there's singing and there's praying, there's laughing and there's crying, sometimes all of it's saying. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together. At Pentecost, the people received the Holy Spirit and told the good news through the world to all who would hear it. I am the church, you are the church, we are the church together. All who follow Jesus all around the world, yes, we're the church together.
And now before we go, Sharon and Karen, could you step forward? All of you have this little insert in your program. Step over here. And you stand right there.
She has hers. So Karen Jean McGee and Sharon K. Duran are joining our church this morning. Karen Jean McGee, she requested her transfer from the full membership from First Presbyterian Church in Dallas, Texas. And Sharon K. Duran requests an affiliate membership with Lanes Chapel UMC in Tyler, Texas. Both of them request to unite with Cloudcroft United Methodist Church. As members of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen its ministry?
I will.
As members of this congregation, will you faithfully participate in its ministries with your prayers, your presence, your gifts, your service, and your witness?
I will.
As members of Christ Universal Church, will you be loyal to Christ through the United Methodist Church and do all in your power to strengthen his ministry?
I will.
Congregation,
we give thanks for all that God has already given to you, and we welcome you in Christian love.
Now, Jean and Sharon, you read
as the members together with you and the whole body of Christ, the congregation of the United Methodist Church, we renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
And now the congregation with one voice, we give thanks that all God
has already given you,
and we welcome you in Christian love. Amen. So make sure that as you leave, you give them a hug and welcome them.
God bless you, Karen.
God bless you.
God bless you.
To have you.
God bless you. God bless you.
And now, let me give the official closing. And now receive this blessing from the Lord. A steadfast love and faithfulness will meet. Righteousness and peace will kiss each other. Go in peace, confident in the promises of God. God bless you all. Have a wonderful, wonderful week. Thank you.
As we go, may your spirit go. As we go, may we follow where you lead. May we live what we have learned, share the message we have heard, and be a light unto the world. As we go, as we go, Spirit, go before us. As we go, may we
I went by Thursday, but you were not in the little store.
I was there. I was just running around.
I figured that. It's okay. I was just supposed to say hi. Because I knew you had come. Yes, you are. God bless you. Yes.
I enjoyed that. Thank you. I understand we have beautiful friends in El Paso. And the Sugars, Marion and Sugar.
Oh, God, yes.
Yes, Marion and I went to kinder together.
Oh, my Lord. Oh, did you tell her I say hi?
I will.
God bless you. Thank you for coming.
Thanks.
Great to see you. You look beautiful. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Thank you for coming. God bless you. Hey, how's everybody?
Good.
Good. I'm glad. Hey, how are you?
Hey.
Are you enjoying your time down
here? Oh,
right. Okay. Oh, my goodness.
That is not unheard of.
Bless you. Good morning. God bless you, hearts. Yes, thank you.
Good morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Good morning.
Where are you on Facebook? How do I get on
here? I'm not on Facebook, but the church is on Facebook. Yeah. Yes, I'm from United Methodist. Hi, Wayne. Hi, I saw you last week, you know?
Yeah.
Yes, and I'm thinking, okay, I don't know them, and nobody introduced them to me. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for coming.
Join the circle. I'm visiting with the Atkins.
Oh, okay.
Just for 4 days.
Oh, well, I hope you enjoy. God bless you. Pretty alert. Pretty alert.
Where are you?
Okay. It's okay.
We're so glad you're here.
Oh, thank you so much. God bless you.